Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to It's Rainmaking Time. This is Kim Greenhouse. This is the most heartwarming segment I've done in a long time. We have with us Andy Mackey, who is the founder of the Andy Mackey Music Foundation, Music for Every Child, known as the Modern Pied Piper that has cheated death. This was in a CBS Evening News special by Steve Hartman. I watched it on YouTube, the clip, and was so inspired by you, Andy, that I wanted to welcome you to It's Rainmaking Time. I'm excited about your work with children, the music you're bringing to children, the instruments you're making for children, and I want you to share with us what revelations have come into your life that are extending your life. What do you think it is that's extending your life? Why are you cheating death?
I think it's the children and the music.
How long have you been making these instruments?
I've been making the instruments now for about 5 years, I believe.
And what are they exactly? What kind of instruments?
Little string instruments. We start off with a one-string one, which is just a stick. It's been hollowed out with frets on it. And we have children as small as preschool learning to play on it. And once you have learned one string, you basically have opened that child's mind to playing any string instrument they want to put some effort into.
How did you learn how to make these instruments? Have you always made instruments?
No. When I started doing harmonica in the school, and after I taught almost every child in the county how to play harmonica, I realized the need for music in the schools, and I bought some simple instruments. And one of the things I tell children is you can do anything if you just do it. Well, I had never, ever built an instrument in my life, but I'd be a poor example to the children if I didn't believe what I was telling them, you know. So I bought those and I started making them. And then I realized that by making them a little bit simpler, that I could actually take it as a kit into the classroom and have the children assemble it in the classroom.
That's amazing. How long have you been doing that?
I've been doing that for about 4 years.
You've made about 13,000 harmonicas?
No, I've given away over 16,000 harmonicas.
Oh, my God.
But the string instruments, I've made over 3,500 of those.
Now, are you doing this all yourself?
Most of it. I'm now in the process of teaching the high school shops how to do it. We're actually paying for a shop teacher in one of the schools, and what I'm creating is like a model program so other schools can copy this.
That's awesome. Are you documenting the model that you're setting up at these schools?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Because that would be very important, too, how you're bringing it into the schools.
I just didn't want all this to be lost after I'm gone, you know? And I've actually taught 6 high school shops how to do it, you know, locally here. But my goal is to show schools all over the world how to do this. I mean, like Martin sells a Martin backpack guitar that sells for $275, $300. And I can build one. It plays just as well. Show a school how to build one for $25 per child.
That's amazing. Absolutely amazing.
When a child helps make it themselves, and they put their name inside and teach them how to play it, and once we do one class, when we go build the second class, the first class actually goes and teaches the next class. And we've actually bused children in different schools to teach in other schools.
And how old are the kids that are learning how to build the instrument and then play it?
Well, I've done children as little as kindergarten, first grade. Mainly it's second, third, fourth grade that build them in their classrooms. Now the class that I was teaching this morning, I'm actually teaching those children. These are middle school children, 7th and 8th grade. I'm actually teaching them how to, take a piece of wood and make the instrument themselves.
Do you find that the boys take to it very quickly and the girls are more resistant or take longer, or is there just as much excitement?
Actually, some of my students have been... one girl in particular, she fell in love with the idea, you know, and they got so excited about... She also did not play an instrument, but they, you know, she showed so much interest. I gave her a full-size guitar, and I taught her a few chords, and then I sent her to a music teacher for about 5 lessons. And the next thing I knew, that girl was teaching another whole class of, like, third graders in the school. So that girl ended up being a teacher for me.
That's amazing.
And I have after-school programs in just about every school here where I furnish guitars, mandolins, banjos, fiddles. And those children are being taught by children as young as 10 years old.
You're starting a whole movement.
And, you know, we have whole... I was born in Scotland, and I have a couple of CDs that I sell, and I use the money to buy violins and mandolins. And the children can play the songs off of those CDs. We go perform, and they actually are my backup music.
That's totally amazing. Now, how is your health now, and do you feel that you have a lot of energy still to do this, or is energy the thing you need more of?
Well, I need more energy. I got injured with a racehorse quite a few years ago, so I have a really, really bad neck injury. And it radiates down through my arms and my legs.
Yeah, you're a retired racehorse trainer, aren't you?
Well, I trained. Actually, I was a rancher, you know. But I have trained racehorses, yeah. But anyway, a horse jumped on my neck and it smashed every disc in my neck. So part of the reason I do what I do is I live in so much physical pain. If I sat still, I would be a miserable old person, you know.
So you have a neck injury you're still in pain about and still trying to get healing from, correct?
Yeah, well, you know, if I get busy and do something for somebody else, you know, God will just take care of the pain for me. It's still there, but it's not overbearing, you know what I mean?
Right. Now, what about all these heart attacks that you've had? And I hear that you went off 15 different medicines. What prompted you to do that?
Well, about 11 years ago, after 9 major heart surgeries.
And really speak up as you say this.
About 11 years ago, after 9 major heart surgeries, the doctors had me on 15 different prescriptions.
15 prescriptions.
And I have all kinds of side effects, too.
Naturally, absolutely.
And I couldn't even function, and I did not want to live that way. So I called the school, and I said, could I please come and teach a class of kids how to play harmonica? Honestly thinking it was the last thing I could do. I did one class. They called back, and they said, can you do the whole school? And I said, sure. So in order to buy the harmonicas, I took the money I spent on medicine and bought harmonicas. And I just went from school to school, and we ended up getting in the Guinness World Record book for the largest harmonica band in the world.
Wow. Did you think that you would live after you got off all your medications?
Well, I didn't even give it much thought. I just said, Lord, I'm in your hands.
That's beautiful.
You know, I've went all this time. Now I am now back on medicine. I'm taking 5 prescriptions now. And I just recently had 3 more heart attacks. I had a major blockage. I still have a major blockage in part of my heart that I can't get to. And I already had 13 stents in my heart. And they needed to put some more in, but they were afraid to put those in without creating more damage.
Yeah.
I was in the hospital. He had this vascular surgeon do some special thing, so they were able to put 2 more stents in me. And
How do you feel now?
Well, the 11 years I didn't have any medicine, I had heart and chest pains. Excuse me, I had chest pains every day. Bad enough that most people would have went to the hospital, and I just ignored them. Some nights I would go to sleep feeling so bad that I would call my children. I wouldn't tell them I was sick, but I would, and I'd wake up in the morning, and I was amazed I'm still here. And I would just get up and go to a school and work with those kids. And one little boy, I found out when I had this last heart attack. This little five-year-old boy told his father, he said, that Andy Mackey, he's died two or three times and been brought back to life. Is he like Santa Claus or something?
You're not going to go away. I think you're here to stay, and I actually think you're here to not only get medical treatment, but to improve your health and get rid of some of the pains in your body so that if your spirit still wants to go on and work with kids, that you're enabled to do that.
You know, I don't mind the pain I live in. I mean, I'm so excited and so fulfilled with what I see happen with these children. And, you know, so it's a little bit of discomfort. Everybody has, you know, some kind of discomfort, you know.
That's amazing. What are some of the things you're seeing happening? What do the kids tell you? What do the children tell you that warms your heart?
Well, many of them, you know, want to do what I'm doing. And I have children who are now, in their 20s, who will stop me in the street and say, Andy, you were the first person who made me believe that I could be somebody. That I could do something, you know.
That's so important. And you're working with their self-esteem and their sense of creation and wonder about life?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, and they get, you know, it's a whole lot more than teaching music, you know. When you teach a class to build them, you know, they work with each other. And, you know, in every class there are some children who pick it up really quick. And they end up being the teachers. Like when I teach harmonica,
right?
Within 5 minutes, I've found two or three children who can actually be the harmonica and that teacher from that point on.
Do you think that a lot of children are natural and they can take to it quickly?
A lot of them are. And it's funny, it's a lot of times it's a child who was doing poorly in the school work or a child who has behavior problems or, you know, all different kinds of stuff.
That's interesting. Do you think that what you do is you turn on a light, the switch goes on of creativity?
I've been given a gift. It seems like that I can make children believe that they're special. Each and every child is special, you know. And they can be whoever they want to be, you know. Whatever you do, just do your best. It might not be as good as the child next to you, but God doesn't expect any more than you to do your best. And he will bless that, you know?
It's beautiful. You say that music is a gift.
Yes, and once you learn the song, you give it away.
And how do you do that?
Teach someone else.
You teach someone else?
Teach someone else how to play and share it with your family and with your community. Besides all the music, we have given away over $500 scholarships for children to go to college. And that money is basically raised by concerts that I organize with children who have taught how to play music. They'll be in the program that night. And we've also raised a large amount of money for Habitat for Humanity. We do a concert every year.
How long have you had your foundation?
About 9 years.
And are there a lot of people participating, or is it kind of a little bit here and a little bit there? Or?
Well, a lot of people come forward and help for a while, and, you know, they get busy. Everybody's busy making a living in today's economy, you know. And And I live so simple, I don't need hardly anything to live on, you know. And I can't take anything with me anyway, you know.
Right. If you had to ask the Lord for a request in terms of your time here on earth, what would you ask for?
Just to continue blessing what I'm doing, you know. I don't take any responsibility for any of this stuff that's happened, other than I'm using the gifts, and I'm willing to share them, and I'm not looking for anything in return. I refuse to make a dollar out of any of this. It's amazing what you can do when every one of us can help the people around us. And a lot of people think, well, you know, I don't know what I can do. But, you know, you start doing, you know, giving up yourself to your fellow human beings. And if you're doing the right thing, whatever you need disappears. I mean, when I started building these instruments, I had an awful hard time finding the proper types of wood. And when I came back from my trip in Michigan here just a couple of weeks ago, I went in my barn, and here is 500 pieces of wood already cut and milled for guitar necks, perhaps shape them and all that stuff, and then about 1,000 other already cut, you know. And that's just the way it's been happening. It seems like whatever I need appears from someplace.
What do you think that's about? When you say it appears, you mean it's by grace, right?
By grace, mm-hmm.
In other words, you're being supplied by the Creator. Do you sing?
And I just have a desire to help. Everybody gets so busy, you know, trying to accumulate a bunch of things, you know. We have so much stuff in this country that we just take for granted, you know. You know, there's a lot of people in this country who cannot afford musical instruments or lessons for their children. And there's no reason why. I believe that if you play an instrument and God has given you that gift, you need to share that gift with someone else. If a musician would take 20 kids and teach them for nothing, you know, look at the difference that we could make. I have had children go overseas on different trips, who taught them how to play harmonica. They went over to villages in Thailand and places like that and taught those children how to play. Now those children are teaching the surrounding villages how to play.
It's like a gift of the Spirit, really.
Yeah.
This is truly the gift of the Spirit, because part of what you're doing, too, is you're bringing joy in the creation of the instruments, togetherness, harmony, happiness, pleasure, fun in community.
On the joy in your own life, I think, is in proportion to the joy that you bring to others, you know. The more you're willing to give of yourself, the more you are blessed. And you can't see it, you know, or it's not something you hold. But you can sure feel it.
It's interesting. I have been on a mission for 25 years to be part of bringing solutions and discoveries and new knowledge and important works to the world, and to help facilitate and fast-track that. Along the way, I got involved in broadcasting and fell in love with it and started in television in Los Angeles and then went into radio. And realized that I had been given a real gift and a series of gifts, and I love to make things happen and to present and to bring people together. And I noticed that I had this ability to draw people out and to bring the best of them out in dialogue. I applied to radio stations all over the country and got turned down for 5 years and decided that I would stop broadcasting. And back in October, I decided, you know what? It gives me a lot of joy and it's a good work. I'm going back in. I also love storytelling, but I know that there's something very profound connected to doing what you love, serving others and helping others and bringing joy into people's lives, and that is always blessed.
Yeah.
And when I saw the special on you on CBS, I was so touched. I said, I've got to talk to this man because this man has access to the gift of the spirit and the creator's blessings and grace that you're still alive, because medically we know you really shouldn't be, seemingly, right?
Yeah.
Seemingly.
No, I am still, I use a wheelchair a lot.
Yeah.
And to get past surgery, the vascular surgeon said to me, he said, Andy, I'm amazed that you can still walk. And he told me that every major vein in my legs are 100% plugged.
Uh-huh.
And he said most people would have stopped using their legs and would have had their legs amputated by now. But because you continue to use them, that your body has created its own blood flow just enough to keep my legs alive.
Wow.
Very painful to walk, but I still walk a little bit. So when I'm home working in my shop, I'm on my feet all the time, you know.
Have you ever heard of the expression rainmaking?
No, I have not.
Well, it's an ancient term, and it's translated as manifestation. Whenever something manifests, rainmaking has happened. And it got understood many, many years ago and associated really with the ancient tribal peoples, the indigenous tribes, where they would pray about usually the weather or raining and asking for rain and do certain rituals and it would rain. And a lot of people from the United States believe that that's just a myth, that that doesn't really happen. But there are people that I know that have literally witnessed this with people in different parts of the indigenous world. But the term really, rainmaking, has to do with a dance between the creator, God, and us. And it's this portal where by grace you ask and you call in what it is that's of your deeper meaning, what's in your heart to ask. You know, there's like what we think we want, and there's what we really want. And they're not always disclosed to the people around us. You know, people, many, many people don't share what they really want with other people. But rainmaking is the art and science of calling in manifestation. And one of the things that gives me great pleasure is introducing rainmaking to children. It's part of what you're doing, as far as I'm concerned. You are introducing rainmaking, your own model with your own kind of brand of it, in what you're doing, because you're turning children and young adults onto their greatness, their abilities, their confidence, their creativity, their ability to manifest, and to impart what they learn. It's great. Very, very exciting. When I say it's rainmaking time to children, and I've gone to schools and introduced rainmaking to children, and they are laughing and excited and have a smile on their face. And when it's introduced, it's unbelievable what happens in the room. It's like the lights go on big time. And that's what you're doing. You're doing it in an extraordinary way through music.
You know, one of the things that they... One of the comments I get the most, like when we were doing a performance someplace, and we'd have, you know, maybe 50 children performing, and people will come out of the audience and say that they can't believe how well these children work together, and not one of them wants to be the center of attention. You know, they'll help each other, and without any one of them wanting to be, you know, in the limelight, you know?
Yeah. Why do you think that is? Do you think that's something that you're imparting to the children that's happening in the space around you?
I think I'm imparting that in the kids.
I think so, too. They usually say that people and children will rise to the occasion of their teachers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I work with a lot of or children on probation and stuff like that, you know. And I've had children who, you know, they cuss quite a bit. And after, well, I'll tell them, you know, we just don't talk that way, you know. But I don't really get on real bad, you know.
Yeah.
And one child was helping me build instruments. And he was just being really obnoxious, you know. And I went and got one that was already ready to play. And I taught him how to play a song on it. This is like a 15-year-old boy.
Wow.
This is really cool. Boy, this is really cool. And the next thing, I gave him a three-string one, and I taught him how to play it. And he was just kept going on and on. Boy, I wish someone would have taught me this when I was in first grade, you know? And from that moment on, it was Mr. Mackey, what can I do? You know, he was just almost like I touched him and made a different human being out of him.
Now, you live in Washington State, right?
Yes.
Are you near Seattle?
About 50 miles as the crow flies. We have to go across the Puget Sound. We are actually on the Olympia Peninsula.
You're on the Olympia Peninsula? Are there hotels around where you are?
Yes.
I'd like to bring some kids out there.
Oh, I'd love to have you.
I would love to bring an entire rainmaking team of kids out to see you and to work with you and to learn from you.
Maybe we could work something together with the school that I'm really involved with.
I would love it. I'd absolutely love it.
You have my email address?
What is that?
Andy@andymackeymusic.org.
I'm trying to think if I bring some kids over there for a weekend. I don't know if you do anything on the weekends.
Yeah, I do, yeah.
Because I can't take them out of school here, but I was thinking maybe we would stay somewhere, maybe either at someone's house or in a hotel or something like that, something inexpensive, and come for the experience.
How many kids would you be talking about?
Oh, I think, like, well, to start, like 3 or 4 from out here. What do you think?
Yeah, I'm just thinking I could probably find some parents to help put the kids up. I live in a little trailer.
No worries about that. I think that would be extraordinary.
Uh-huh.
We can talk about it.
Yeah. The children could actually, they could even build an instrument while they were here and go home.
That would be awesome. When is your first free weekend?
The 20th of February.
20th of February?
Not this is that weekend or the 27th.
Or the 27th?
Yeah.
I will definitely get back to you about that. That would be extraordinary. So what, we would fly into Seattle?
Yeah.
That would be remarkable. Absolutely remarkable. How do we get into Olympia?
You don't go to Olympia. You have to cross the Hood Canal. We could send you a map, you know, how to get here.
Okay.
Like if you wait. If you decide when you're going to come, if you email me and give me the information. I do not do the computer, but I have a friend who handles all that for me.
Yeah, yeah.
He could send you a map of how to get.
That's great.
4,000. That's where the hotels are at.
That would be great. When a horse fell on your neck many years ago, did it break your neck?
All the discs in my neck.
Were you immobilized for a long time?
I was not completely paralyzed, but almost for about 7 months.
Were you scared you would never move again?
Oh, a little bit, probably.
Did you want to die when you were paralyzed?
No. No.
What did you think would happen to you?
Well, you know, I've been injured a lot in my life. You know, broken arms, broken legs, broken collarbones. Because I used to do rodeoing also, you know. But this was a lot different than any of the other injuries I had. That injury actually changed my life.
What happened?
When you live in constant pain, the only real relief you can get is constant communication with the Lord. So it keeps me real close to Him. I mean, He's right up front and center 99% of the time, you know?
Right.
I used to be kind of bullheaded, you know. I could do everything myself, you know. And I realized I can't do much of anything. I can't do anything without his help, you know.
We have a very willful nation here.
Yeah.
Very willful. You know, one of the biggest myths about rainmakers and rainmaking in this country is that you make everything happen. You make it happen. The person makes it happen. And that's great for building self-esteem and taking accountability and generating. But the rainmaking where you are in unison with God and you are directed how you're to proceed and you allow yourself to be guided, that's a whole different kind of rainmaking. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
The fruit and what's showing up is not all just from you, but
no.
You're working in unison.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I realize that. I have nothing to do with other than being willing to let him use me.
Talk about that.
Well, I'm really humbled by the way I have been used, you know. And I've never done any of this for, you know, recognition or material anything, you know. It's just something I want to do, you know. And it seems like every step I've taken, he's just opened up this door, that door. And so I can see how little has to do with it, other than I'm willing to let him use me every day, you know.
It's an incredible revelation to be willing to be used as an instrument.
I got up at 5 o'clock this morning, and you know I have a really hard time getting up out of bed and moving short distance to my bathroom in the trailer. It would be real easy to, you know, just say, well, I can't do this today, you know. And it just seems if I just keep going and do what I can, and I can make it through the whole day, helping kids all over the place. And I come home exhausted, and I can sleep, you know.
Do you have anybody that cooks for you or looks after you or does shopping for you?
No. Although just this week, there was a lady at the church who has prepared a whole bunch of little frozen meals for me. I don't take very good care of myself.
Yeah.
I got down to 113 pounds.
Wow. Are you drinking a lot of water?
Yeah.
Yeah, you really need to be hydrated.
I'm trying to be a lot more mindful about eating more regular meals and about, you know, keeping enough fluid in my system. Yeah.
Right. You know the rule, right?
Yeah.
Do you know the water rule?
Yeah.
After 30 years of study, Dr. Batman G, who wrote the book Your Body's Many Cries for Water, said, whatever you weigh, 50% of your weight you need in liquid ounces of pure water. And you need a quarter teaspoon of real sea salt a day to mineralize your body. Not Morton sea salt, real sea salt. The hydration is going to be critical to your longevity.
Yeah.
But I would be honored to come and meet you and spend time with you and bring some children over and take part in your marvelous, unifying, creative healing process. And it would give me great pleasure as part of its rainmaking time to do that. Is there anything else you wish to say today or share today on the show?
Oh, I don't know. I'm a real shy person, you know. And I have so much inner joy and peace from what I do with these kids. Not only children now, but people of all ages, you know. And I'm just really humbled by the whole thing, you know. And just as like I say, I don't think I have anything to do with it other than I'm willing to let God use me. And I hope it can inspire other people, you know, to get out of themselves and, you know, be of service to other people. Because each and every one of us has a gift that we can give away.
You've definitely inspired me and so many people, and I look forward to meeting you soon.
Great.
Hey, will you do me a big favor?
Yes.
Will you put your spirit in three words for me? Are you ready? It's rainmaking time!
Yeah.
Can you do it?
It's rainmaking time?
Yeah, but like you mean it. It's rainmaking time!
It's rainmaking time!
You bet it is! Ladies and gentlemen, we have been speaking with Andy Mackey of the Andy Mackey Music Foundation that provides instruments, lessons, and scholarships to children who want to learn to play music. The foundation operates on donations from the public, non-governmental organizations, and businesses. They can be contacted at andymackeymusic.org. It is my divine pleasure to be talking with you today, Andy, and I look forward to seeing you within the next month in Washington. God bless you. It's rainmaking time. Get ready.
Rainmaking time.
It's rainmaking time. God bless you.